Welcome to Faith Out Loud Canada, sharing the Christ who cares together through practical Bible teachings. This is your host, Dan Purdy, connecting you with the pastoral staff and leadership team of Church in the Valley in Langley, British Columbia. Over the next 30 minutes, listen as inspirational speakers apply key Bible passages, parables, and stories to your modern life. Learn to enjoy God's never-ending love for you and to daily accept His greatest gifts. This brief time together will fill you with hope and confidence while teaching you to live your faith out loud. Today's presentation is entitled Coping with Life's Prison Experiences, based on John 8, 21 and 32. Join us now as lead pastor Dr. David Jameson begins sharing the Christ who cares together through Faith Out Loud Canada.
If anybody knew about unfair treatment, about being an innocent victim, it was Joseph. One minute he was a 17-year-old boy who had his whole life ahead of him. And the next he found himself as a slave in Egypt, the property of a man he didn't even know. Joseph began to work under Potiphar, and he gained favor in Potiphar's eyes, the scripture tells us. And Potiphar placed him in charge of everything in the household. But someone else had noticed Joseph as well, and that was Mrs. Potiphar. She noticed that he was a good-looking man, and she tried to seduce him and to have him do something that he did not wish to do. Joseph politely refused her advances. He persistently said no, and when he did that, she told a lie about him. She caused him to be unjustly accused, and Joseph was abandoned in Pharaoh's cruel, cold prison. Joseph had lots of time to think while in prison. And while he was there sitting on that prison floor with an iron collar around his neck that was scraping him all the time, with chains on his ankles, he began to think about the past. He began to think about his dad who loved him so much. He began to think about his brothers who had sold him for 20 pieces of silver into this horrible place. He began to think about how fortunate it was when he did get to Egypt, how he was purchased by one of the wealthiest men in Egypt, and how everything had been going wonderfully well for a while. He thought about what happened with Potiphar's wife. He thought about the unjust accusations and the lies. And now, as he sat there in that prison with dirty straw for his bed and with food that was not fit for human consumption, he wondered why all this had happened. But it was then that he thought of his father's God and the God-given dreams that had come into his life. Why, when he thought about those dreams, all of a sudden it was as if he had dreamed them just last night. And he said, why are they coming so freshly to my mind right now? Could it be that God is trying to tell me something during this difficult prison experience? And as he thought about these dreams, he became convinced that these were God-given dreams, that these dreams were to become true, that God would bring them to reality because they were dreams that fuel a life. Dreams that fuel a life. I know your world is not filled with Egyptian dreams and dungeons. But let me ask you this morning, what kind of prison experiences may you be walking through right now in life? What kinds of things are challenging you in your life? Maybe there's been a sudden automobile accident that's left you helpless. Maybe there's been some traumatic disease that has come to you or someone in your family. Maybe you are feeling right now, as I have done for the Brucia family in Florida, who just watched a surveillance camera videotape and someone grabbing their daughter 11-year-old daughter by the arm and dragging her off, and they find her dead behind a church in Sarasota. Every time I think about that, I pray for that family. And I encourage you to do the same. There are millions of kinds of prisons that people face in our world today. There are the scars of abusive relationships in the past that cause people to experience long dungeon years of prison. There are wives without husbands, husbands without wives, children without parents. There are parents without children. There are men and women without jobs. There are family finances that are totally out of control. There is despair. There is disappointment. There is disillusionment all around. There are millions and millions of people who are walking through prison experiences right now, why there are even some here in this sanctuary this morning. But my friend, the story of Joseph is a story with a modern day message, and it has a modern day relevance for you and I. Because as we turn our attention to Joseph and how he was able to cope with his prison experience, we too can learn 5 secrets for coping with life's prison experiences. And so we go back to the saga, Joseph, dreams that fuel a life. And the very first secret to overcoming life's prison experiences is to establish your faith perspective. Establish your faith perspective. Genesis says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. Can you say amen? The Lord was with him. You see, it would have been mighty easy for Joseph to doubt God. He'd been in a pit. Now he was in a prison. He was all alone and abandoned. Iron collar around his neck, chains around his ankles. He couldn't sleep. He didn't have anything to eat. He was alone. He was far away from family. He had no one. He could have doubted God. He could have doubted whether God even cared. And my friend, many people have under far less fortunate circumstances. Many people give up when the very first hint of trial and tribulation comes their way. But Joseph did not go through that kind of experience. Joseph chose to establish his faith perspective. You see, we have 2 choices when we face life's prison experiences, and only 2 choices. The first choice is that we can become disillusioned, whiny, and embittered. And a lot of people do that when facing trials. But the second choice is the choice that Joseph made. Joseph made a choice to allow the trials, to allow the pain, to allow the hurt to become his platform for trusting in the living God in whom he believed. Joseph believed that his God was with him in the prison. Now let me tell you, that is remarkable. That is not something for us just to skip by for a moment. And so we pause. It is absolutely amazing how for every single one of us, life's trials and tribulations bring us back to the basics of our religious beliefs. It's amazing how the shattered glass and the shattered dreams of life cause us to go back to the basics of our theology and ask the questions, is God really trustworthy? Does God really care for me? And if he does, where is he when I hurt? Can I rely on the scriptures? Are they trustworthy? And people ask those questions over and over and over again, time after time, as they look through the shattered glass and the shattered dreams of their lives. But picture yourself this morning, and I picture myself sitting there alone in that prison. And I wonder how I would cope. As I tried to look through the shattered glass, there'd be some pieces of the glass that would make God look distorted. There'd be some pieces of the glass, because it was all fractured, that would diminish God's size and God's power in my eyes. And there would be some pieces of the shattered glass that would block him out altogether, distorting the reality of God. And when we cry, it is like shattered glass that causes God's picture to be distorted in our eyes when we're dealing with trials and the emotions of our lives take over. But Joseph realized that God was with him in the prison. Joseph established the most important secret of all in coping with life's prison experiences. Joseph established his faith perspective. And when he did, God established the firmness of his faith. There's a second secret to dealing and coping with life's prison experiences, and it's this: to exhibit a positive attitude. To exhibit a positive attitude. It says again in Genesis, he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. This verse tells me that when Joseph was thrown into the prison, when Potiphar and all of the prison guards threw him into the prison, that Joseph somehow did not go into that prison angry. He did not go into the prison with a scowl on his face, and he had not allowed bitterness to capture his soul. Because somehow something shone out from within his heart, and the prison warden took notice, and he found favor in the eyes of the prison warden. You see, he realized that dark days call for right thinking and a vertical focus. Dark days call for right thinking and a vertical focus. Joseph was not going to wallow in discouragement. Joseph was not going to allow self-pity to take root in his heart. Joseph decided that he was going to be hope-filled and that he was going to be positive under the circumstances because he had two dreams that fueled his life that had come from the Almighty God above. Joseph was not like the man who wore an emergency bracelet on his wrist all the time, and it says, in case of accident, and I'm not surprised, call this number. Joseph had a more positive outlook than that. He did not look at life in a negative way. Joseph was not going to brood over what had happened to him. Joseph decided that after he established his faith perspective, that he was going to exhibit a positive attitude. And my friends, a positive attitude is something that everyone notices. And it's your attitude that makes all the difference in how you cope with life's prison experiences. There's a third principle for coping with life's prison experiences, and that is that we need to exude a patient demeanor. Genesis chapter 40, verse 23, it says, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And Genesis chapter 41 says, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. Joseph waited patiently for God to deliver him. Can you imagine you're in prison for who knows how long? Two guys come, Pharaoh's officials, and they're there, and they begin whining right away. And he interprets some dreams for them. And when they get out, just a few days later, 3 days later, he says, please remember me. Please remember me. And then it says that the cupbearer forgot all about him. And Joseph remained in that prison for 2 full years longer. Do you think that Joseph began to wonder about all this? He said, Lord, the cupbearer was here and I asked him to remember me and he's forgotten about me. Maybe he's not the only one who's forgotten about me. You've forgotten about me too, Lord. I've been in here too long. I don't deserve this. I've lived life by the book. I've been faithful to you. I've been faithful to you. I've been faithful to Potiphar. I've been faithful to myself. I resisted the seduction. I didn't go along trying to justify myself through the unjust accusations. I did not wield my anger. I weighed my response. Why am I still here in this cold, cruel, dark, dingy dungeon? Why am I going through this horrible monotonous experience for two more miserable years in this hole. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 says this: "For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." The scriptures also say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." And in Psalm 27 and verse 14, it says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart. Wait for the Lord." Joseph began to realize that it was not uncommon for God to lead his people through seasons of suffering in life. Joseph began to realize that bad things sometimes happen to good people. And he decided that he was going to have a patient demeanor, that he was going to somehow take heart and wait upon the Lord. Somehow he figured out it's not going to be if I get delivered, it's going to be when, because my God is able and he's going to deliver me. You see, Joseph began to believe that the same God who delivered him from the pit was more than able to deliver him from the prison as well. You remember this story of Terry Anderson? I still remember the face. Terry Anderson was a news reporter from the United States. He was sitting in his automobile at a traffic light on a street in Lebanon on March the 16th, 1985, when all of a sudden a green Mercedes whisked up and three young bearded gunmen hopped out and at gunpoint hauled him out of his car, threw him in the back seat, and sped off to the worst ordeal and the most painful prison experience that he would ever face in his entire life. They blindfolded him, they beat him, they hardly fed him. He was thrown into a cold, damp cell. And every day that passed by, he wondered, is this the day I'm going to be delivered, or is this the day that they're going to take my life? They tortured him. He was there all alone. Sometimes he could hear the moanings in other prison cells as Terry Waite was there, as Thomas Sutherland were there, and Frank Reed was also there, all held captive by Shiite Muslims in the city of Lebanon. But Terry Anderson did not lose hope. Terry Anderson and Terry Waite, Reverend Terry Waite, believed that God would deliver them. Terry Anderson remained in the prison for 2,454 days. 7 years, just about, in prison. But he didn't give up hope. He patiently waited. His family didn't give up hope. They patiently waited because it was not a matter of if. It was a matter of when God would bring about their deliverance. My friends, we need to exude a patient demeanor when we're dealing with life's prison experiences. There's a fourth secret to coping with life's prison experiences, and that is to be an example of practical service to God and others. It says in the very next slide, "When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, 'Why are your faces so sad today?' And I almost smile. It makes me laugh when I read this. They had just arrived. They probably hadn't even been there a week. It might have only been a day or an evening. And they were totally dejected and their faces were totally sad. And Joseph, who had been there for who knows how long, and it looked like was going to be there indefinitely because he had no one to get him out. There was no family, and Potiphar certainly wasn't going to help him after what he believed. He was only down to one person who could possibly get him out. Joseph was in a far worse situation than they could ever imagine being in. And he walks up to them and says, 'Guys, how come you're dejected? Why are your faces so sad?'" Joseph was an example of practical service to God and others. You know, the human tendency, and it's mine too, the human tendency is to brood when something goes wrong. The human tendency is to feel so sorry for yourself and to whine. But Joseph made a conscious choice that he wasn't going to do that. Joseph made a conscious choice that he was going to overcome his sorrow by lightening the sorrow of those around him. And that's amazing. That's amazing. Why? These guys said, we're sad. Pharaoh has thrown us here in this prison. We didn't do anything. Just didn't please Pharaoh the other day, and he threw us in prison. But they said, we had a dream. Each of us had a dream. And the amazing thing about it is Joseph said, yeah, a dream. Tell me about it, because don't you know, God gives the interpretation to dreams. And I find that amazing, because I have seen a lot of people and I've heard their words, and maybe you have too. Joseph could have said what they said. Dreams, don't tell me anything about dreams. Forget dreams. Last time I had a dream, man, I got into a mess. Do you know what happened to me when I had a dream? My brothers sold me into slavery. Don't tell me about dreams. And God, ha! I wouldn't be in this prison if it weren't for him. Have you ever heard people talking like that? Giving up on all of their faith, giving up on God because things haven't turned out the way that they thought. But God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I have a plan. Continue to have faith. Joseph didn't say any of that. He said, tell me your dreams, guys. And while they were telling him his dreams, he was ministering to them, helping to feed them, giving them water, encouraging them along the way. He was giving of his life in ministry and service to others, overcoming his own sorrow by lightening the sorrow of those around him. What an example Joseph is for you and I today as we face life's prison experiences. How do you and I cope when we deal with these types of things? Are we like Joseph, giving of ourselves to other people, and no matter how bad it gets, being like Job and saying, though he slay me, yet will I worship him. That was a kind of experience that Joseph shared. There's a fifth principle for coping with life's prison experiences, and that is this: to emerge from the prison victorious. To emerge from the prison victorious. It goes on and it says in Genesis, now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard, the cupbearer was telling Pharaoh. We told him our dreams and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position and the other man was hanged. 2 full years later, Joseph still believed that he was going to emerge from the prison victorious. You see, we must turn our trials into trust and look to God to use that affliction, that dungeon, that abandonment for his purpose. We must turn our trials into trust. 6-year-old Kevin Neal was driving his fifth-wheel toy down his driveway in 1981. And inadvertently, the little guy somehow picked up too much steam and speed, and the thing rolled right out into the street. And Kevin was hit by an oncoming car, and he and his parents began the most painful prison experience of all of their lives. The paramedics rushed to the scene and took him off to the hospital, and he lay in a hospital bed all crumpled up with casts on and in a coma. His parents were there and they were praying and they were asking why and doing all sorts of things to deal with this prison experience that Kevin and they were going through. And it seemed like there was no hope at all for him to come through, that he was just hanging on to life by a mere thread, because on a little fifth wheel that low, the car just mowed him right over. But suddenly a miracle happened, and he opened his eyes and smiled at Mom and Dad. And then he began to mumble something, and the words came out in an unintelligible fashion at first. And he began to sit up in bed. And his parents began to have their hope revived in every way. And later on, he actually got out of the hospital and was in a wheelchair for quite a while. But he was a remarkable kid with a positive attitude and with a faith in God. And he kept struggling all along, and soon his dad would help him, and he would use those faltering feet, and he pulled himself along with a walker. And then in 1992, he took his first unassisted step. And shortly after that, his pastor was making an appeal in church. And he asked for the congregation to come forward, all those who wanted to give their lives in service to God and others in sharing Jesus Christ with the world. And a few people started going down the aisle. And Kevin got up out of his seat and with his hands like this and his faltering feet started dragging himself down the aisle. And other young people who had been in his school, who had ridiculed him for what he had become, and other people who knew all of what he was enduring in life's prison experience, began to stand up around him. And hundreds of people went down to the front of the church to that altar call that day. And when they got down there, Kevin made his way with them. And the pastor handed them the mic. And he said, "Pastor, I don't know what I can do for the Lord, but I want to do everything I possibly can to share my Jesus with other people." Kevin had a remarkable trait. No matter how dark the day was through his debilitating prison, he continued to believe in God, because Jesus told the people who had faith in him, "If you keep on obeying what I have said, you truly are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Kevin knew how to emerge from his life's prison experience victorious.
What an inspirational and timely presentation from lead pastor Dr. David Jameson.
We certainly hope that today's message demonstrated God's powerful love for you and encouraged you to seek a deeper relationship with Him. Perhaps you are struggling with something in your life with which you need help. It could be your finances, your job, a relationship. Perhaps it's an addiction or something else that you're concerned about. Don't miss the opportunity to call on Jesus to help you. The pastoral staff and leadership team at Church in the Valley can help you have a dynamic, personal relationship with God and show you how to be of service to others in your community. Check out our free online resources at churchinthevalley.ca. Our popular audio and video archives are only a click away. This is your host, Dan Purdy, thanking you for sharing the Christ Who Cares together with us. Until next time, share your faith out loud, Canada.